Welcome back to the program. We enter another segment of Sports Excitement, ESPN 1005.com, AMPM Sports. I am Aaron Moret. You can follow along on Twitter at AaronESPN 1005. We'd always appreciate if you do that, and you can send me tweets at AaronESPN 1005. Also, Facebook.com/AaronMoret. That's M-E-U-R-E-T-T. You know, Chris sends me an interesting tweet in talking about Favre and Manning and their stat that they have lost more playoff games, each of them 12, more than any other quarterback in the history of the game. And Chris tweets me and says, I have this strange perspective that every game means the same because you play to win, right? So every game should mean the same, playoffs or not. But no, Chris, that's simply not true. That's not the way it works. Every game is not the same. There's no way that pull a week out of the hat. Week four. That doesn't mean the same as a Super Bowl does. Of course not. That's ridiculous. Not every game is the same. There are different pressures in every single game. When the Packers go 15-1 and have Matt Flynn starting in Week 17 against the Lions in 2011, that's not the same as a do-or-die in Week 17. It's not the same. There are pressure games, and there are games that you don't need to win. You'd like to win every game, but sometimes you have everything locked up. Sometimes you're cruising through the season. But not every game is equal. There are definitely games that mean more. There's no comparison between week one of the regular season and the Super Bowl, or any playoff game for that matter. You have to keep everything in perspective. Games mean something in different situations. And sometimes games mean more to individual players. This game wasn't just important for the Broncos. This game, whether Peyton wanted to admit it or not, it was important for his legacy. And he didn't show up. And the defense for Seattle did. I was having an interesting conversation late last night with my dad, and he brought up an interesting point. He said, okay, look, defense, we know defense beats offense, and defense will win out. So either way, whether Peyton played good or bad, Denver was probably going to lose that game because the Seahawks had the superior defense. But it turned into a blowout because, on top of that, Peyton also had a bad game. And that's a good point. It may not have been so much the preparation of the Broncos being poor as it was defense beating offense in general, and then adding to that the fact that Manning had a terrible game. You can think over that thought. All right, Bleacher Report. Matt Stein has the latest Green Bay Packers 2014 mock draft. You can check it out on bleacherreport.com. And Stein goes through everyone that the Packers, that he projects the Packers to draft. And the Bleacher Report does a really good job with their mock drafts. If you are a member on ESPN.com, for most of the mock drafts, you need a insider membership to read them. Bleacher Report, you can get them for free, and a lot of times they are very in depth. I believe the first six picks, or the first five rounds, The Bleacher Report has the Packers taking a defensive player, which is how it should be. I'm not concerned about anything on the Packer offense until they get things fixed up on D. But first round, they have projected to the Packers Rashid Hageman, defensive end out of Minnesota. Now, he's a guy who's been creeping up on the draft boards, particularly. Basically, any mock draft you see for the Packers, you see the Packers taking Hageman out of Minnesota. And you say, well, I think they need a safety in the first round. And I agree with that. I'd be all for it because, I mean, the two guys, the one in particular that I want, Clinton Dix, out of Alabama, is going to be off the board by the time the Packers are picking. Now, the Packers are picking 20th, and unfortunately, they aren't the only team in the National Football League that desperately needs a safety. So you have the two best safeties in the draft. Probably going to be off the board, both of them, by the time the Packers are picking. So many are conceding the fact that the Packers really aren't going to be able to draft a safety in the first round. So they're saying, okay, what's the next thing the Packers need? Probably a pass rusher, which Rashid Hageman is. Defensive end. He's a big guy, too. Big, athletic kid. Now, I would be all for the Packers trading up in the first round to pick Clinton Dix. I would love it if Green Bay would do that. I don't think they will. Thompson more likes to finagle the late-round draft picks and stockpile as many of those as he can get, because you know you save a few bucks when you draft those late round guys, especially if they happen to work out. And in all honesty, Thompson's late round draft picks over the years have blossomed into better players than his high picks have. But that is what you have in the first round, Hageman. In the second round, it is when you have the Packers taking a safety, Jamie Ward out of Northern Illinois. And I don't really like that. I'm not in favor of the Packers trying to fill their biggest need on their team with a guy out of a small school. Now, I know Northern Illinois has played well for the size of school that they are, but I'd rather not. I'd rather take somebody out of the, like I said, Clinton Dix, Alabama, same place Eddie Lacy came from, big-time program, a lot of players who come into the NFL and have success. Rather have them go that route. But round two, Jamie Ward, safety out of Northern Illinois. In round three, Chris Borland, inside linebacker, obviously from Wisconsin, says Borland is another player who is rapidly moving up draft boards after an extremely strong showing at the Senior Bowl. However, his lack of ideal size at 5'11 and 247 pounds will ultimately make him available in the middle rounds of this year's draft. Now, that's a guy who I wouldn't mind taking, because if you want to follow the Seahawks' path to success, what do they have? A lot of guys on that team who are young, hungry, been told, you can't make it, you can't do it. Late round draft picks like Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, and I think Borland fits that role because he's the guy that everyone said, well, he can't play, he's too short. He's too small to play inside linebacker. He's too small to play in college, let alone in the NFL. Yet look what he did. I like picking guys like that. Same thing with Aaron Rodgers. Though he was taken in the first round, he, and it's been well documented, has a giant chip on his shoulder to prove people wrong. And despite A.J. Hawk having a good season, I think the Packers could use an inside linebacker. And this is the way I feel about the Packer defense and how far away I think they are. I think they could use an upgrade at every position, at least one player. They need a defensive lineman. I'd take another outside linebacker who can rush the passer, because I'm not sold at all on Nick Perry. I'd take an inside linebacker, probably to replace Brad Jones and not A.J. Hawk, because for as criticized as Hawk is, he probably had, if not his best season, one of his top three seasons this past year. But Brad Jones really does nothing. So you could use an inside linebacker like Borland. I'd also like to see the Packers add a cornerback. And clearly, they need a handful of safeties. And only two will start, but you can use the competition. So I like the pick of Borland in the third round. Fourth round projected to the Packers, Daniel McCullers, defensive tackle out of Tennessee. This guy is a big man. McCullers, 6'7", 348 pounds. I'd take that. I mean, anything the Packers can get to stop the run would be very important. In the fifth round, DeAndre Coleman, defensive tackle out of California, another guy who you'd like to come in and stop the run. While Coleman played mostly defensive tackle in college, he has the tools to move to defensive end in the Packers' 3-4 defense. As limited as Coleman is in trying to create any type of pressure against the pass, his upside against the run makes up for it, says Matt Stein. All defensive players, rounds 1 through 5. Here's a interesting one that I don't think Thompson would really take a flyer on. Maybe if what this draft board says is true and they can get him in a late round, like the 6th round. 6th round pick, Colt Laierla, tight end out of Oregon. He's had off-the-field issues, but he's very talented on the field. Now, Thompson generally isn't going to take somebody like that, but maybe if you got him in a late round, you take him and try to replace Finley, though I still contest that Corliss and Bostic can do every bit of job that Finley has done over the years. Seventh round, I'll run through these quickly. Dree Archer, wide receiver out of Kent State. And that's basically it. Two offensive players and five guys on defense. I think it's a good way to go for the Packers. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll have one final segment of AM PM Sports right here, ESPN 1005.com. Do not go anywhere.